Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is special coverage on WNYC. Senator Kerry to speak very shortly. In the meantime, we bring on WNYC's Andrea Bernstein. There was not a lot at stake in local elections yesterday, but there was some, and there were some very interesting developments in a few respects. Hi, Andrea.
Interesting, but also perhaps predictable.
Such as?
Well, for example, and I just got off a conference call with State Senator David Patterson, who was the Senate Minority Leader, who was talking about he had staked out that he wanted to take two Senate seats back from the Republican, and they believe they've won three. They're including the upstate race against State Senator Nancy Lorraine Hoffman, a Democrat turned Republican. But I asked him, I said, well, you know, is this a broad mandate reform, or is this just sort of politics as usual? I mean, if you look at one of the seats that we had watched and that they were watching closely, it was the seat against Senator Olga Mendez, who was a Democrat turned Republican and probably belatedly turned Republican. She had been supporting Republicans for many years before she formally became a Republican. Her district is 11-1 Democrat.
Hmm.
Why
does someone with an 11-1 Democratic district become a Republican?
Well, what State Senator Patterson said, it was a money deal. She had a relationship with the former State Senate Minority Leader Martin Connor that enabled her to stay on committees and get her Lulus. But when it became apparent that State Senator Patterson was going to strip her of her Lulus, which are the stipends you get for being on leadership or on committees in the state Senate, she went over to the Republican Party. He called it a money deal for her. Guy Velela's district, also a Democratic district, he had a challenge a couple years ago against state Senate by the wife of city council member Oliver Capel, Lorraine Coyle Capel, and she didn't win, but it is also a Democratic district, and if you're running as a Democrat in a Democratic district for an open seat that was vacated by an incumbent Republican who went to jail, it doesn't seem like you have to be incredibly smart to think that the Democrat is favored. Westchester is a little more interesting. That was Andrea Stewart Cousins against Nicholas Spano. Everybody thought that was a safe seat. But the Westchester Gannett papers got very interested in that race and started to do some investigative reporting and to lay out the what apparently looks like nepotism in the Spano family. And that, coupled with all these discussions about reform, maybe if it is an upset, it's too close to call right now, maybe the one area where people really decided they did want to change the system in Albany and voted against the incumbent for that reason.
So let's do the math a little bit. Of course, the sort of moral issue is change Albany, that we have this three-men-in-a-room dysfunctional system, the Democratic leader of the Assembly, the Republican leader of the Senate, and the governor. And a lot of people wanted to shake that up. Did the numbers change enough in either house to make a difference?
Republicans are telling me yes, interestingly. Even though this was a relatively small gains, I think that the Senate could go to what is now a 37-seat majority to a 35-seat majority, because the 37-seat, there was an empty seat. So if they do win three, it'll be 35 Democrat, which, you know, is kind of Republican to Democrat, which is seismic in Albany.
Is that a 35-seat difference?
35-seat. Republicans hold a 35-seat in a 61-seat body.
Right. So the difference is only a handful of seats.
Nine, I think, if I'm doing my math correct. But some Republicans are telling me today that Bruno is going to be out, State Senate Majority Leader, that the reason he's leaving is not because people want reform, but because the upstate Republicans feel that he blew it in allowing too much reform. So interestingly, he may be a casualty, and that'll be something to watch.
And Sheldon Silver in the Assembly?
Sheldon Silver seems to be remaining around as one of the longest by now serving state assembly majority leaders. There was some question about whether his failure to override some of Pataki's vetoes, and he actually did lose a seat, the Long Island seat that Tom Suozzi was working on, which was a pretty clear message of reform, whether that would shake him. But he has a pretty firm foothold, and even Republicans are telling me that Shelley Silver right now is just impossible to dislodge.
But wait a minute. It sounds like you're telling me the result of the Reform Albany movement, which actually resulted in the changeover of a few Senate seats, is going to result in less reform.
Well, it'll be interesting to watch. I mean, if there is a new Republican who is more committed to the old agenda, I mean, you know, Bruno was sort of a maverick in some ways. He's known as a conservative, but for example, on issues of lobbying reform, he was the first to embrace one of the long-time dear causes of the reform movement, that lobbyists shouldn't be able to take state senators out to dinner all the time. I mean, this was anathema in Albany. And I remember reporting on this story a couple of years ago about Democrats and why they wouldn't go along with it. And they were people who wouldn't talk to me for years after that, because they felt, how could you accuse us of selling out over a meal? But there were legislators in Albany who never paid for a meal anytime they were in session. And, you know, this is something that Bruno went along with. And, you know, he has at least on the face gone along with some budget reform proposals. He's very much a sort of train runs on time guy. Let's start on time, let's finish on time. So, you know, it could be, yes, that there is less reform in Albany as a result of this. But, you know, this is all very early.
WNYC's Andrea Bernstein with me. And can we talk a little bit about the presidential race as it played out in New York? Any surprising results for you there? Have you been looking at the exit polls, or maybe you haven't been covering this?
No, well, you know, I have been looking at the exit polls, and, you know, I heard City Council member Bill de Blasio say earlier that New Yorkers live in their own reality with respect to security. And I think that that is something, the results of the sort of New Yorkers who are concerned about terrorism but supported Senator Kerry not squaring with the rest of the country isn't really a surprise to us. Last night I saw some of the network analysts analyze the exit polls, and they couldn't believe it. But I think that having experienced the terrorist attack in our midst makes us very different, makes New Yorkers very different from the rest of the country. So, you know, it isn't really a surprise. I mean, you know, the turnout was sort of what it was in 2000. Now, some people could say, okay, well, you know, where was the historic mandate for Kerry if the turnout was pretty close to what it was in 2000? In 2000 was a hotly contested Senate race. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And that always drives
who
up.
Who was
turnout.
That again?
Who was that?
Some,
it was
some lady.
You know, I was looking at the numbers. I was saying, well, this doesn't make sense. We had, you know, long lines and in polling places. You know, an interesting thing about the long lines in polling places phenomenon is one of the ideas that's been floated on the internet is all the angry voters came out and voted early, and that may be something that was happening in New York City, where we know, I mean, Bush won by a 3-quarter margin in the city, in large part because people were angry. And those may be of the people that went to the polls and crowded them so early in the morning.
Here are some of the New York numbers that really jumped out at me. One, New York is so different from the rest of the nation on terrorism. Of course, this is the city of the World Trade Center attack. But of the 25% of New Yorkers who told the exit pollsters that they were very worried about terrorism, they voted for Kerry in the same proportion as the state as a whole. Even though terrorism was the president's big issue nationally.
Well, I mean, I think this all goes back to the point of New Yorkers experience the terrorist attacks, all of us. I mean, you know, those terrorist attacks were a few blocks from here, and we experienced them in a very different way from people who saw it as a television event. And, you know, we had talked about this during the Republican convention, but I think that nowhere was that divide clearer than then, where people came to New York City, and for them, you know, they didn't have a time to go to Ground Zero, and for them, the terrorist attacks were still a television event. And I think that's why, one of the reasons why the president was so successful in using it to his benefit in the campaign.
Another thing in New York, a big race and gender gap. I don't know if you've seen these numbers yet, but there was basically a tie among men between Bush and Kerry, and a victory by Bush in New York State among white men.
My guess is that if you looked at Republican and Democrat exit polls over the year, that wouldn't trend too differently, because of the war.
Let me jump in, because now it does appear that we are about to hear the concession speech from Senators John Edwards and John Kerry, who are both on stage at Faneuil Hall in Boston. Senator Kerry just saluted to a crowd, now put his hands together in front of his chest. Senator Edwards is waving. We are expecting a concession speech from Senator Kerry and Senator Edwards. First reports were that they were going to fight in Ohio to get all the provisional ballots counted and then a recount if necessary. But Senator Kerry announced earlier today that they would not fight. And we go to the podium at Faneuil Hall. Senator John Edwards to speak first.